All right, let's turn to John 21 for the study tonight. John chapter 21. If you remember last week, we looked at the first 14 verses and saw a couple of neat things that the Lord did to and for His disciples and revealed to them His person. He was the resurrected, living Savior. These men had watched Him die. They watched Him take His last breath. They watched Him take Him down from the cross. They watched as they wrapped His body in grave clothes. They watched as they carried Him to the tomb. They watched as they laid Him in the tomb. They watched as they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. And so, in their minds, He died. He died. But on the third day, just as He said, He came out of the grave. All right? And so now here He is, dealing with them, revealing to them His person, and showing that He is the same person that they knew before the cross, the same one, and that He was still the Son of God. So let's look now tonight at verse 15, and we'll read down a few verses here and show you some things that, I like it when I learn something, okay? I like it when I learn something. I learned something this week, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. So let's look at these familiar verses, but we're going to learn something neat tonight. Look at verse 15. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee," now this is Jesus speaking to the Apostle Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Wow. These are some great, great words that we have before us tonight. And I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you as I go through this tonight, and pray the Lord will help me and see if we can get some nuggets out of this passage tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, how thankful we are that we have a Bible. And Lord, we're so thankful for this passage of Scripture. And I ask that you will bless tonight as we look at it. Father, I pray that you will help me as I teach this. I need you to guide and direct me as you've done so many times before. But Lord, I sure need you tonight. So I pray that you'll bless tonight. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, we might all enter into the spirit of the service and just get what the Spirit of God has for us tonight. Lord, we know that every time we gather together and when we open the Bible, that, Lord, you desire to speak to our hearts. And so help us, Lord, to hear what you have to say tonight. And we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask these things, and amen. All right, last week we saw the Lord dealing with a group of seven of His disciples. We noticed in verse 2, there was Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael that was from Cana in Galilee. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were there, and two other disciples whose names were not given. And so we saw the Lord dealing with a group of seven. And in so doing, he revealed to them his person, showing them that in their restlessness, he was their comfort. Showing them that he provided for their physical needs. When they had fished all night, had taken nothing, the Lord provided for their physical needs. He showed them that not only that, but that he could provide for their spiritual needs. And thus revealing his person, the fact that he's God, and that he can do whatever we need, whatever we need him to be, that's what he can be. And so it was a tremendous impact upon their hearts. They needed this lesson. They are about to embark on a journey that is that they're going to have to take without his physical presence, but yet he's teaching them and preparing them for it by revealing that whatever they need him to be, that's what he will be for them. Now, what we have before us tonight and next week as well, but what we have before us tonight is the second encounter that the Lord has with the Apostle Peter. The first encounter was with seven of the disciples. Now tonight we're going to look at the second thing that's recorded in this chapter, and it has to do with the Apostle Peter. Now the others are there. Please remember that. The others are there. They're present. They're still on the shore, and they just finished eating dinner when this takes place that I read for you a moment ago. And then the last thing that happens begins in verse 20, where the Apostle John tells us about Peter turning around and asking Jesus, well, what about John? You said what was going to happen to me. Well, what about John? What about this guy? And so everything that follows, beginning in the text that I read tonight, verse 15 and following, everything that follows through the end of the chapter is distinctively individual. He is dealing with individuals. However, the individual is seen as Christ deals with him, whether it's with Simon or whether or not it's with John, as related to others. In other words, I don't want you to think that that Christ is not teaching everybody that's there. He is. Hold on a second. I got some little piece of fuzz on my tongue there, driving me crazy. Okay, I'm good. And so he's teaching everybody, but he's dealing primarily with individuals here. Now it's going to be important. I think you'll see in a little while that this is that what I'm going to say, why I said this is important. I hope you'll see it in a little while. But now I want you to listen very carefully. Now I'm gonna say something. I'm basically going to put a little foundation here before I start tonight. So I want you to listen very carefully. The real value of personality is never found just in personality. The real value of personality is found in relationships. All right, now think about that for just a moment. The value of a life is not in that life. The value of life is found in what it is in relation to other people. Now, keep that in mind as you listen, as I explain to you what I think transpires in this passage of Scripture. Now, here's seven of the disciples. But yet the Lord has a lesson he wants all seven to get. But he chooses the two dramatic personalities amongst the seven, and he draws them aside to teach them the lesson with the idea that all of them are going to get it. You understand what I'm saying? All right, I want you to see that because I think that plays a role in this. It is interesting to observe the contrast between Peter and John. It seems that they got along with one another. So far as spiritual matters go, but there is a great contrast between them so far as temperament goes. Peter was the practical kind of man. What you see is what you get kind of fellow. And it seems that he was always very busy, very active, very earnest about life, as a man could be. And John, on the other hand, seems to be a very contemplative man. It seems that John is the thinker. As I was studying and reading what others had to say about him, one fellow said that out of the disciples, John was the poet of the group, that he always looked at things and saw things like a poet would look at something and see it, that he just didn't see what was before him, but he saw what was underneath it, and he saw what was in it, and he saw what was around it, and that John just looked at life in that direction. One of the commentators took it upon himself to refer to John as the mystic disciple. In other words, that he looked at life through a very sharp lens and was able, in many cases, to see things that others could not see. John was always a little bit aloof, always standing back and seeing the whole matter of a thing. And it was John, you'll remember, who had the visions in the book of the Revelation. And so he has been deemed through the years by preachers and by commentators as the dreamer and as the visionary, and so far as all the apostles are concerned. Now, because of what Simon Peter says in verse 21, look at it. It said, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And he was speaking about John. And because of what Peter said here, it's been suggested that maybe there was some jealousy or some problem between Simon Peter and John. But I don't think that that is necessarily the case. We see them working together, side by side, and working well together, side by side, in the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts. Different? Yes. They are as different from one another as they can be. But they needed one another. And when working together, they seem to balance one another out. And it seems, as you read the first several chapters of the book of Acts, that they made a tremendous team. One of the authors that I read last week in preparing said, if the practical man had no poet to dream, he would kill himself with activity. And if the thinker had no practical man by his side, he would soon worry himself to death. And there's probably a lot of truth to that, wouldn't you think? But it seems that they got along well. They were as different. They were as different as two men could be. But what a great team they made when they were brought together in the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the Word of God. Now, let's begin tonight on that foundation with Christ's one-on-one encounter with the Apostle Peter. Remember now, the Lord is revealing to His disciples His person. He is showing Himself to these disciples as He is, as the Son of God. Go back for just a minute now before we start on the text here. Go back to Matthew 16, just to refresh your memory for just a moment about the Apostle Peter. Matthew chapter 16, look at the 13th verse, please. Matthew 16, verse 13. (Clears throat) Verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. That's the Messiah, Christos, the Messiah. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar is Hebrew for the son of Jonah. That's the same thing that Jesus calls him over here, Simon, son of Jonas.